RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, you know, following the defeat last night to the Chicago Bears, it's been a terrible Tuesday. But I almost forgot, on Tuesdays, we also highlight the best scoring plays from the weekend that was high school, college, and the National Football League. We call this segment Touchdown Tuesday on AWOD Radio.
Touchdown Tuesday. All the best scoring plays from the biggest showdowns across the National
Inside
Football
the 10,
League.
Into the end zone for a touchdown.
Strut into the end zone for an unbelievable touchdown.
At the end of the day, all that matters is getting into the end zone.
Take it all the way for a touchdown.
Touchdown Tuesday on AWOD Radio.
So I want to start by highlighting Jonathan Taylor. Stop, I don't know if you've seen, but there are some Daniel Jones backers on Twitter. They must have followed him from New York to Minnesota to Indianapolis. They've been fighting me on social media because I'm refusing to give him credit for the 5-1 start in the Indianapolis Colts, and that's because Jonathan Taylor's been the best running back in football. Yeah, your quarterback's going to look good when you have the number one running back. That's why Daniel Jones only looked good when Saquon Barkley was the number one running back. Jonathan Taylor is number one in carries, number one in yards, number one in touchdowns, in the top for average per carries right now. He's done everything for the Colts. And oh yeah, he was huge in their win against Arizona. Yeah, 21 carries, a buck 23, 6 yards a carry, and this touchdown here on a Touchdown Tuesday.
That was it!
Toss play, Taylor to the edge, to the end zone. The Colts take the lead in the fourth.
Touchdown Tuesday!
7 tutties for Jonathan Taylor. Josh Jacobs has 6. James Cook has 5. Jalen Hurts has 5. Cam Scataboo now into the top 5 with 5. And Javonte Williams as well. So that's been, you know, a big reason why the Cowboys' offense is so good. That and the reemergence of George Pickens as an elite wide receiver in the NFL. I mean, my goodness, did he get open all day on Sunday. Let's take a listen to the call. George Pickens to the end zone and a 34-yard throw from Dak Prescott.
Quick slant, Pickens breaks free. George Pickens, touchdown Dallas.
Now, the Panthers would win that game, but Washington's defense is going to have to find a way to get some stops against this high-powered Cowboys offense. Here on a Touchdown Tuesday, who would you like to highlight, Stubb?
I want to highlight Jared Goff. And yes, maybe he is a bit of a system quarterback, but man, does he make those throws every time. He is currently leading the NFL in passing touchdowns with 14. So here's a passing touchdown from Jared Goff.
Third and 3. Goff in the middle fires. Jameson Williams bouncing off tackles into the end zone. Touchdown Detroit.
And really the most impressive thing about Jared Goff, and I'm sure we'll bring him up tomorrow on QBIQ, inside the mind of the NFL quarterback, is his completion percentage.
Yes, yeah.
On the season, he's at 76%. He had 80% against the Chiefs there. I know they lost the game, but 23 of 29. He just moves the ball up and down the field. They can rely on him, and he's so good in play action. He's number 6 in the NFL right now at quarterback rating. And he got into the end zone there with that one, and he leads the NFL. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys offense, they're second with Dak's 13. Baker Mayfield's been at an MVP level. He has 12. Stafford has 12. And then he ran out the top five, the tie between Sam Darnold, Patrick Mahomes, Tua, and Josh Allen. Let's take a listen to some college highlights here on a Touchdown Tuesday. Let's start with the college passing leader. That's Sawyer Robertson at Baylor. A 30-yard pass to Kobe Prentice.
9 of 12, 86 yards. And the one miscue. Oh, no miscue there. Touchdown, Kobe Prentice. His sixth of the year. Only 17 catches. All he does is catch touchdowns.
Touchdown!
Tuesday!
Jaden Daniels found Luke McCaffrey in the end zone, but Jalen Daniels has been one of the stories of college football this season. He's second in terms of passing touchdown leaders. He has 18 right now for Kansas. So does Josh Hoover at TCU. But we cannot sleep on Fernando Mendoza at Indiana, who has 17, and he had a great game over the weekend as Indiana took down Oregon. Let's get to the top rushers in college football. And for Washington, that's Jonah Coleman with 11 touchdowns. We highlight you on a Touchdown Tuesday.
Is Coleman straight up the gut, and the nation's leader in total touchdowns adds one more.
Touchdown
Tuesday!
Stubby, I'll throw it back to you on a Touchdown Tuesday.
Yeah, so we're going to head to San Jose State next for Danny Scudero, who this is his first appearance because he had four touchdowns for San Jose State's last game. And I think last year it was a San Jose State receiver leading the pack as well. So we're going to highlight a huge touchdown pass, one of his four from last game.
Second down for San Jose State. And this is a team that's very capable of running the ball as well, too. Egitt flushed out of the pocket. Great chip. Throws it downfield. Escudero. It's another strike. The blue blur off into the end zone. Two scores here in the first quarter. 72 yards for the nation's number one receiver.
Touchdown
Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a five-way tie for second place. It includes Indiana star Elijah Surratt, but also Jeremiah Smith, the talented sophomore for Ohio State. We played the clip earlier. Paul Feinbaum believes Ohio State, the Buckeyes, are the best team in college football, and Jeremiah Smith tied for second with seven touchdowns on the season. Jordan Tyson at ASU has seven, and Eric McAllister at TCU has seven as well. For rushing touchdowns, we should mention Haynes King at Georgia Tech, the quarterback, is tied for second with nine rushing touchdowns. Georgia Tech has been one of the top teams in the ACC this season, and he's pretty much been unstoppable when he gets going, because he can burn you in the air, he can burn you with the pass as well, and he helped get a few touchdowns against the Hokies over the weekend. Haynes King had two on the ground and one through the air. He now has nine on the ground this season with those two tied for second. Haynes King's been one of the best quarterbacks in football. 971 yards, four touchdown passes, nine on the ground, and just one interception so far this season. In the ACC, you've got Damon Claiborne, who's from the 804 area. We had him on the show at ACC kickoff stub. He's tied for fifth with eight. So that's also cool to see a guy that we had on the show at number eight. But also Jamari Taylor, who we also interviewed at ACC kickoff for UVA, has eight touchdowns on the season. And it's just Georgia Tech's getting the hype, and they should, because they are number 12 in the country now with a 6-0 record. Virginia, Chandler Morris, and Jamari Taylor have been one of the cooler stories in college football.
Absolutely.
They're number 18. They're 5-1. They're going to have a very difficult game. Luckily, it's at home for the Cardiac Cavs this weekend. They will take on Washington State. It's going to be a 6:30 kickoff that you'll check out on the CW Network. And really, I'm looking forward to talking more UVA football this week and throughout the rest of this season here, because they're a talking point, not just here in Virginia, but when I was in Charlotte for ACC kickoff or ACC tip-off, it was the big conversation about how, look, what we're going to see in the ACC championship game. A lot of people believe we're going to see Miami. It's hard to find a loss on Georgia Tech's schedule. But Virginia has not lost in the ACC, and they have maybe the easiest schedule to close out the season. They don't have Georgia Tech. They don't have Miami. Their toughest game is at Duke, and we're not talking basketball here with the Cameron Crazies. So we'll see how this season plays out, but Tony Elliott's done more than save his job. He's absolutely building something. And I can tell you right now, already their win over Florida State and Louisville is going to help them with recruits and help them in the transfer portal to build off of this successful season next year. At 5-1, you could have a collapse, and you're still going to have a better season than what's going on in Blacksburg with the Hokies. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back on The Fan.
Touchdown!
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
It's lost ball. Completely my fault. Not even didn't give Bill a chance, so it's my fault. I'm not going to sit up here and blame it on the elements. I mean, at the end of the day, I got to focus. I get paid to go out there and focus playing the play out, and I had a lack of focus right there, and it cost us a game.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. That was the words of quarterback one, Jaden Daniels. I get paid to go out there and focus, play in and play out. I had a lack of focus right there, and it cost us the game. I love that accountability from him. We win with Jaden Daniels. We lose with Jaden Daniels. That's my quarterback, and I love that honesty from Jaden. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 833-804-0910, 833-804-0910. Let's go around the room with our commander's reactions here on a terrible Tuesday. If you want to chime in, 833-804-0910. So my dad is visiting me today, and we got to witness an awful end to that Monday Night Football game last night.
A nightmare. I was so confident that on third down we were going to do something good. But there was one thing, I don't know if you've mentioned it. I've got this big TV now that you were able to arrange with in my place. Mm-hmm. And there was swirling wind, and there was the rain coming down. And I just said to myself, is that going to affect something?
Well, I said to myself, I'm praying it affects Jake Moody hitting the game-winning field goal. That's all we could do, was pray and hope that he would miss a very makeable field goal, and he did, and they won the game. We got Jeremy and Stubb on the other side here. I mean, how much do you think the elements played a factor in this one?
They were huge. I mean, You obviously saw the fumble dropped at the end there. A lot of people are blaming the elements. Jaden Daniels not blaming the elements, but I think that certainly had a factor in it.
Yeah, I mean, he lost focus. Maybe part of the focus was, damn, it's windy as hell. Are we in Chicago? Are we in the Windy City?
But what about the drive down? That's where it really killed us, is they went down another 40, 50 yards.
Right.
And we had chances to stop them. And that was the whole game. There were times where we had chances to stop them that we did, and it looked really good. Okay, we're going to really do it now.
Well, we never got the stop when it mattered most, right? Like, there. You fumble, there's 2 minutes and 55 seconds on the clock. Jaden is praying, give me another shot. give me another shot. Give me another shot. But your defense didn't get a stop. Nine plays, they get into field goal range, they bleed off all of the clock completely. I don't know that Dan Quinn had the best time management there, you know, calling timeouts. I get it, you want to stop the clock, but if you're going to give up a first down, you damn wish you would have had those timeouts back later when they just let the entire clock run off completely from 1:14 down to 1 with Jake Moody attempting the kind of, you know, the game-winning field goal. But also, when you scored to make it 24-16, that is when you need your defense most. And you gave up the biggest explosive play of the game in the 55-yard touchdown to G'Andre Swift. That changed the momentum entirely.
And we've been doing that all the games.
Yeah.
You know, there's 2, 3, 4 catches. And, you know, what you said while I was driving down here, it's, you know, the passes that are going 10 yards for all the opposing teams, there's nobody around. There's no defense there, and they're getting 10 and then 15 and then several times, you know, like the 40 or 50 yards.
Yeah, and Caleb wasn't great. He missed a few open receivers, but a lot of times when he threw it, he was throwing to open receivers. We didn't really make him fit it into tight windows other than the three passes that I thought were interceptable, and we didn't catch any of them. So just really frustrating defensively, and this is why you saw how aggressive Cliff Kingsbury was last year, because he knows his team needs a 2-score lead, because you can never trust this defense to get a stop, Stub. They're not going to get a stop when we need it most.
No, you can't. It's been consistent. It was consistent last year. This is why we always put it in Jaden's hand to win the game. And I legitimately, this might be the first time we put it in his hand and he couldn't do it. I can't. Maybe that Steelers game, but that was like a whole different thing. And Zach Ertz did make that or whatever. But this is the first time where it was Jaden could go win us the game and he didn't. So I can't fault him that much because he's like 15-1. But it's just sad to see.
Yeah, and you know, we've cost ourselves a few games here. You know, with turnovers and missed field goals. And we've got to be better in those categories right there. And especially when, like, so that's our weakness defensively. We're a year and a half through Dan Quinn. His defense is not creating turnovers. And then you highlight the fact that our offense is putting the ball on the turf. It's got to change because you can't win games that way. You can't win games that way.
What about the articles about we're the oldest team, and you're starting to see some of the guys, well, you've seen it all year, missing tackles.
Yeah.
And it's you know, I don't like that we've got so many guys that are 33, 34, 35 that were good, but are they good enough now against 23, 24-year-old guys?
Well, Marshawn Lattimore's not. I'm not going to say that Bobby Wagner's too old because he's still leading this team in tackles. But like Frankie Louvu hasn't stepped up like I thought he would. And that's a big difference right there. Dorrance Armstrong missing part of that game definitely showed up because he's been our best defender. He did come back in and get a key sack in this one, or at least a tackle for loss. But he, you know, missing him certainly cost us at times in this game. But it was a winnable game and one that we should have won. And now looking back on it, you know, throughout the rest of the season, I just hope this isn't a game where we're like, that's where things changed. That's where momentum shifted for the entire season. I believe we have the leaders in the locker room to not let this snowball into 2 and 3 losses in a row like it did last year. But it absolutely could, because your next two games are on the road at Dallas and at Kansas City. Do you guys think we should go to Dallas, pitch a tent in Dallas, you know, rent out a motel in Dallas, and just stay there for the full week and try to recreate that magic once again and then go straight from Dallas to Kansas City?
I don't necessarily think that you need to do that. It's not like the cross-country travel there. I think it's good for the guys to, you know, be at home and be comfortable while they reset their mindset for a big division game.
And I think you can only do that so many times before, you know, the older guys especially, with wives and kids, are like, come on. Don't let us, like, make us be gone every week. I want to see my family at night. I think you can do it every now and then, but not too frequently.
Well, we got to do something to get off to a better start. And once again, against the Chargers, I blame the coaching staff. Against the Falcons, I blame the coaching staff. Against the Bears, that was the players. That was Jane Daniels' interception on the first drive That was Bills' fumble on the second drive and a defense that couldn't get off the field because they couldn't tackle on the first two drives. That was the difference in the game. We got ourselves behind too much. I mean, I think about how much different this game would have been if we had not had the two turnovers in the first quarter. If we had made that field goal, we should have won this game by double digits. It should have been like the Giants game, like the Raiders game, where it's not even close in the fourth quarter because we have gotten off to a better start and because we didn't beat ourselves, right? I mean, the Jaden Daniels throw to Deebo Samuel, that should have been a touchdown drive. That's 7 points we took off the board. The Bill fumble led to 7 points. That's 14. And then Matt Gay missed. That's 17 points that this game flipped. A one-point loss should have been a 16-point win. What have we averaged at home this year? Two 16-point wins. That's what it should have been. But we vomited it all over ourselves, and we spilled it on the ground, and we let them pick it back up.
And we had the 8-point lead. And all we needed to do was stop them and get another field goal, and the game was over.
Yeah. I hate that we blew an 8-point lead in the fourth quarter. I hate it so much.
And they did it so quickly that it just, we lost our confidence then.
Right. I mean, the game completely flipped because not only did they get a touchdown, but then they also got the ball back in three plays later, basically, with a quick three and out or five play and a punt. Now, luckily, our defense stepped up there. But, yeah, I mean, that momentum was flipped on that DeAndre Swift catch and run. And it's so frustrating because it just came down to a missed tackle. And our guys ran into each other. And that's awful defense right there.
What's going to happen with Bill now? Bill has definitely lost some confidence.
Yeah.
And after he did fumble it, they kept him out for a little bit, right?
They went back to him later, but he didn't look like himself. I mean, I think he's thinking about the fumbling issue for sure. I think it's hampering him. And yet, we had enough rushing yards to win, 124. Jaden Daniels, 10 carries for 52 yards. Might have also come down to, like, the drop passes, right? Didn't Jalen Lane have a drop? Jeremy McNichols had a drop on a third down where he might have made a guy miss. Deebo Samuel had a drop. Chris Moore had two drops. And part of that issue is that we need Terry McLaurin back. Chris Moore should not be running those routes. I was doing bits on social media, Stub. Chris McLaurin touchdown, Luke McLaurin touchdown. But we needed Terry McLaurin in that game, and we certainly need him back if we're going to beat the Dallas Cowboys. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for VCU basketball. And oh yeah, the season's here. Got an exhibition game on Sunday. Had the black and gold game this past Saturday. And you can hear all things VCU hoops here on 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Looking forward to getting back on the microphone pregame and halftime alongside Robbie Robinson, play-by-play voice of the Rams, and color analyst Rodney Ashby. Joining us right now from VCU Ram Nation on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, it's our buddy Matt Shelton-Hyde. What's up, Matt?
Adam, what's good, man? Happy basketball season, sort of.
Absolutely. You know, first time we're getting you on the air here since we had a big AWOD radio announcement a few weeks ago. Stubb was joking with me because I never made the announcement on my airwaves. The Junkies talked about it, and then Michael Phillips talked about it. But I'm here with Matt Shelton-Hyde, who helped me purchase my first ever house. Matt, thank you, and your hard work with you and Nest.
We had a good time, man. It was fun hanging out with you guys, fun celebrating afterwards, and yeah, basically made you a neighbor. So, you know, ultimate win for everybody.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to the black and gold game. And I gave my thoughts yesterday. I thought Brandon Jennings was terrific. And then we brought him on the show with our AWOD exclusive interview. If you missed it, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. I'll ask you, which of the new guys impressed you most?
Oh, man. I mean, there's a bunch of them. I think, can I pick more than one? Can I go with two? Is that too much? Too much talk?
No, go ahead.
There's something about Nick Lewis that I just love. I was telling a coach friend about him the other day, and you know, I was just like, he just has the look of an elite level recruit. And he's, you know, my friend's like, yeah, that's basically what you get when you get these like top 50 recruits. But I was really impressed with how gritty he was. I think him next to Brandon would make for a really tough defensive lineup. And just his ability to get to the rack and hit threes in our first little taste of him, I was super impressed. I was just very excited about him. And also, to me, Tyrell Ward, the LSU transfer, he just looked like a high major player. I mean, he was stroking threes. He got to the rack. He flashed some serious athleticism. And again, he was like a 40% plus three-point shooter at LSU as a top 100 recruit. So, I could go down the list, honestly, but, you know, I don't want to talk your heads off. But those two guys are two of several that just had me, you know, wondering, like, man, what is really going to be the ceiling of this team?
Yeah, I thought Nick Lewis looked like a kid with just a ton of potential. Same with Ahmad Noel. I mean, the toughest thing for Coach Phil Martelli Jr. is going to be playing time. He's got four guys that feel like they could start at the A-10 level at the point guard position. Of course, I'm very excited for what Barry Evans and Keyshawn Mitchell will bring, the two Bryant transfers that came with Coach Phil Martelli Jr. I'm excited to see what Lazar Djokovic can do with hitting an outside shot, but also banging it down in the post. And like you, I thought Tyrell Ward really blew me away with his athleticism. I mean, this is a really talented roster. And like we're talking about, Coach Martelli is going to have to decide minutes. And that's going to be the difficult thing for him. But in this new era of college basketball, like, who cares, right? If a kid is upset he's going to leave, we're going to have a brand new roster anyway next year. You might as well let the competition bring the best out of everyone.
For sure. But I will say that something that could help us there is, I mean, I heard him talking after the game how basically, you know, he wants to play really fast, real up-tempo basketball. And, you know, he was saying that basically that's harder to do when you're playing against yourself. Last year, his Bryant team had the sixth highest tempo in the country. And so to replicate that, what do you need? You need a lot of dudes. And we also have a bunch of very fast dudes. So I think something that could potentially help is, you know, we heard about like the whole Army stuff with Rose or Havoc with Shaka. But yeah, like Phil Martelli Jr. has a history of playing extremely fast basketball. And, you know, to do that for 40 minutes, you need guys. And so I think a lot of guys are going to see a lot of minutes, and it's definitely reads like an iron sharpens iron situation, which to basically earn that starting spot, you're going to have to be darn productive because, yeah, like you said, I mean, we're deep all over the place, but that the point guard spot in particular is like, man, there are so many options there, and it's going to be really interesting and fun, honestly, to see how it shakes out.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could be looking at pace and space with Phil Martelli Jr.'s 2025-2026 VCU Rams. Keyshawn Mitchell impressed me, but like the way he grabbed a rebound and immediately put the ball on the floor, it just shows you the type of pace that they played with at Bryant and the type of pace that he wants to play with this season.
Let me add to that. I think there was a play I saw him make where he was out at the three-point line and he, you know, put that ball down and took it to the rack with the control that you don't really see from a lot of big men. And Djokovic, I saw flash that as well. I don't really think Furman has that game, but the two new bigs could really move and could really dribble. And these are subtle things that I saw in particular from Mitchell. Honestly, he kind of like, as my daughter would say, low-key, sort of impressed me the most of the big guys, and I did not expect that. He was very impressive, and he did it in a real sort of understated but just super impressive way.
Yeah, I think he's going to show up in the stat sheet a lot in terms of rebounds, blocks, and also buckets. Speaking of getting buckets, I do think Jadrian and Tracy will score the ball this year. One of my takeaways was, you know, I think him or Barry Evans could be at the top in terms of points per game because I do think he's going to be able to get a lot of opportunities out there for the Rams. But we mentioned Brandon Jennings, 26 points in three periods that were played there. I mean, dude's going to be a star this year. I'm so happy that he stayed.
Yeah, that was kind of a fun takeaway. You know, in a game where there are just an endless amount of new faces and we're excited to see what all these new guys do, it wasn't a new version of Brandon Jennings, but it was just a more confident, I mean, he was very efficient and played, was a serious contributor on a very experienced team last year. But yeah, to basically have a returnee steal the show, I thought was really fun. Super glad he came back. Awesome family. And he just looked impressive. He basically did everything, and he kind of looks like a coach's dream. You know, good kid, plays beyond 110%, and just does everything. He, you know, plays both ways, can get to the rack, shot like 39% from three last year. And yeah, I'm just very excited to see what he does at VCU.
Yeah, I mean, really good in transition, really athletic, and I think you saw him be more selfish on some of those opportunities to go to the basket and finish himself. So I'm really looking forward to what he can bring to the table this year. I think he's going to set the tone defensively, which is going to help everybody. Like, 100%. You have to play to his standard if you want to be out there on the court defensively. Matt Shelton-Ide with us here from VCU Ram Nation. And you mentioned our first time to kind of see the new coach, not really coaching though, watching, but then speaking to the Rams. I actually really liked his speech, and I'm with him. We have to get a sellout streak started again.
Yeah, he's great. I mean, everyone I've talked to behind the scenes, they love him. They love the staff. Just seems like such a humble dude. Feels like a VCU guy. You know, I just think he's, I mean, and also too, I don't know how much of this was this or last year's championship. That was the best black and gold game turnout I've seen in a while, and it just feels like people are really just rallying around Phil Martelli and the staff, which is funny because he's a St. Joe's grad and the son of a St. Joe's legend who beat us in, you know, at least one championship. But yeah, I just think I just love everything he says out there. I love how he's, you know, talking. He's going to match, you know, you bring a friend to the game and you send them proof of it, he will make a donation to the Children's Hospital. Just stuff like that. Just such a good dude. And, you know, I'm rooting for him to win big. I just think he could be, like King of Richmond if we can get these wins.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, really blown away by the turnout there for the black and gold scrimmage. There were not people there to see Max Scholga, Joe Bamisil, Zeb Jackson. Yeah. Everybody knows those stars are champions, but they're gone. And yet people were excited to see the new faces, the new team here, and, of course, the new coaching staff. You know, Matt, what are your thoughts on the schedule? So it starts home opener November 3rd against Wagner. Difficult game with Utah State that first Friday. Your thoughts on the schedule? Any road trips you're heading to? Like, I know I'm going to at NC State, dude.
Yeah. Well, that's the obvious one. I mean, one, shout out to Will Wade for doing that. He scheduled us. He scheduled UNC Asheville, who is his former coworker, Mike Morrell, coaches. He scheduled UNC Greensboro, who he worked with Mike Jones there. So you got to tip your hat to that guy for just going VCU like that. Yeah, I like it. I think it's definitely a manageable schedule. I know how hard it is to get tough games. When you are VCU and you have the NIL budget that beats other power conference schools, you're a hard, you know what I mean? It's hard for people to say, yeah, come on in here, VCU. We'll take an LTU at our own court. Mm-hmm. Utah State is a sneaky one. Obviously, I'm not making it Texas for that, but got to be at NC State. I will make that trip down. I'm curious. You know, it feels like those early season tournaments are Achilles heel every year. So, you know, last year we should have been a favorite. I think we won one game. But, I mean, it's a manageable schedule with hopefully some underrated games. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of like, it sets up to be kind of a stack the wins kind of thing, and we kind of have to because there's, you know, I don't know that there's a ton of huge opportunities on it. I wish that Villanova game counted, but yeah, it's like win at NC State and then, you know, hold serve on a lot of those games, and then maybe we've got a little resume.
Yep, no, and you're so right. I went to Orlando, had one of my favorite trips of my lifetime. We went 1-2. Went to Charleston, had a great trip, unbelievable weather, great city, went 1-2. I will not be going to the Bahamas, so hopefully we can go 3-0.
Yep, I think maybe this is the year. It's got to happen sometime. We keep playing in these. One of these days we just have to have kind of the ultimate success.
Absolutely. And lastly here, we should mention with the injury to Obi Okafor, that's a tough one for sure. But Michael Bell, Coach Martelli did confirm, if it was a regular season game, he would have suited up and played.
Right. I mean, and just, again, we were talking about depth. all of that, all that energy without Michael Bell. Really hoping we see a little more polished offense from Mike. I mean, I think he flashed a lot of promise coming out of France when he played before he went up to the top French league. Had some real good offensive numbers, but you know he's going to rebound. You know he's going to defend. He can defend five positions, and that's a dude we didn't even get to see out there. So I think he's one of the more likable guys I've seen come to the program. So I'm rooting for him to heal up. Can't wait to get him back on the floor.
Yeah, and really probably the one with the most minutes of the three guys that returned, right? Played, right. I think, more than Furman, more than Jennings as well. So we're looking forward to seeing what the junior from London, England, Michael Bell, can do this season. Matt, appreciate the time. I'll let you close out with this because I know you are a Jaden Daniels holder in fantasy, and he's made you a Commanders fan. He takes this L. I think he's going to get back up again and have a great game against the Cowboys. How about you?
Man, I think so. You hate to blame it on the weather. That some sloppy conditions. That last play was a killer. I had, my opponent in fantasy had two Chicago Bears. I ended up sweating it out, but that was a tough one. You hate to see that, especially after how dramatic the win was against the Bears. I don't know if this is rivalry for me here, but yeah, he's such a good dude. So fun to watch. He made me a Commanders fan when I'm not rooting for Mo and the Colts, but yeah, he's going to bounce back. He's going to have a big game.
Yeah, definitely sucked to see him drop it on the ground there, but I do think he'll get back up again, and that's been this team's motto. That's Matt Shelton-Hyde, VCU Ram Nation. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOL.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. It's a terrible Tuesday following the Commanders' loss on Monday Night Football. And here's my promise. This will be the last segment I talk about that defeat. Tomorrow we'll turn the page to the next opponent, the Dallas Cowboys. I'm so glad that this is it. I don't want to focus on this loss anymore. I want to get knocked down, get back up again, go to Dallas, get a win, get back above 500, get our season back on track, get our quarterback going again. That's what I want to see. I'm so glad that Week 7 starts in just 2 days with Steelers-Bengals, and we can put Week 6 to bed. We close out the show by highlighting the biggest sporting event of the night. We call this Game Day on The Fan.
Every day on AWOD Radio is Game Day, home of the biggest sports fans in town at 910 The Fan. We'll spotlight the best sporting event of the day here on
Game Day. Yeah, right back and I'm here. I got the whole team in here now. It's feeling like Game Day in this Game Day. We are the underdogs of the year. We ranking number one on the list. We put in overtime, so we ready for overtime if the clock ever hits. Game Day. Game Day.
6 weeks into the NFL season, we have one of the ugliest playoff pictures of all time, Stubb.
Yep.
Jeremy, it does not get worse than this. The one seed in the AFC, if the playoffs started today, Daniel Jones and the Indianapolis Colts. The Kansas City Chiefs would miss out on the postseason. The Baltimore Ravens would miss out on the postseason. And Buffalo, if the playoffs started today, would be the fifth seed and would have to travel on the road to advance. In the NFC, it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. All right, that's not that terrible. But you've got the LA Rams against the Green Bay Packers. The Lions against the 49ers are the three seed. And Seattle would sneak in to face off against Philadelphia. Yeah, that would be no Dallas, no New York, and no Washington. if the playoffs began today. It is such a week-by-week league, and almost game-by-game, it is so hard to predict who's going to win in the National Football League. But no games today, which means on a game day, we got to look elsewhere in the world of sports, the wide world of sports. Jeremy, you have been our baseball fan here that's been locked in. What do you make of Dodgers-Brewers Game 2 today?
Dodgers-Brewers Game 2, we got a good pitching matchup in this one. I think the Dodgers kind of got lucky in that last one to escape, despite a really good game from Blake Snell. But I think the Dodgers roll in this one to get a 2-0 series lead.
I feel like there's so little hype right now about playoff baseball. And I almost say this every year, but some years they get carried by the big markets, right? Like when New York's in it, when Boston's in it. Now, L.A.'s obviously a big market, but do you guys agree in terms of feels like nobody's talking about playoff baseball right now?
Everyone in my life is talking about the Seattle Mariners right now.
Actually
all in on this right now. Yeah, everyone's talking about
on Big Dumper.
Yeah, I got a lot of Red Sox fans I'm friends with. They're all in on Big Dumper right now. they're definitely who I want to win. I'm super in on this. I mean, that 15-inning game, that was theater. So I'm kind of actually pretty in on this postseason, at least from the Seattle side. I don't really care about the other three teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think Seattle's a cool story. You know, and they're surprising me that they're up 2-0 in this series against the Blue Jays, especially with how good they were at the plate last series. I was really hoping for the Cubs. I was really hoping
for the
Cubbies to win that one. I liked that story the most. Wanted to close out game day here with a college football update and what's going on with the local teams. So, you know, once again for Virginia Tech, awful weekend stuff. Awful weekend.
It doesn't feel like anything anymore. I'm numb.
Yeah, I know. I know. But believe me, all the conversation at ACC tip-off about Virginia Tech is how's it going to work with an eight-man committee, right? Who's actually in charge of that eight-man committee? Is it Bruce Arians? Is it Bud Foster? Is it Eddie Royal? Is it the guys that are actually supplying the paychecks, right?
Now I've had like seven people text me, we got to hire James Franklin. I don't have a lot of hopes for that one, is what I keep telling people.
But this is what we had said, is that, all right, Virginia Tech, yes, they got a head start on everyone, but their next head coach might be coaching still and might continue to coach and then get fired. I mean, yeah. Penn State, this opening of Penn State is so interesting because their top candidates right now are like, they want Kellen DeBoer. Why would Kellen DeBoer leave Alabama? Well, he might get forced to leave Alabama at the end of the season if they screw up, right? There could be an opening at Oklahoma, right? And then maybe James Franklin wants... Like, there's going to be a ton of turnover at the end of this college football season, and I don't like it, but I think that might be the new product of the college football playoffs. Like, that is... When it was so hard to make the playoffs, right, it was like, all right, like, you didn't make the playoffs, we'll get them next year. But now, for, like, Penn State... If you don't make the playoffs, you're firing your coach, right? Same with Alabama. If they don't make it 2 years in a row, I think Kellen DeBoer is in serious trouble. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see the way this college football season plays out. But the local cool story is certainly UVA, who's 5-1 overall, 3-0 in the ACC, and it's just been awesome. We can't sleep on JMU Dukes, who have now won four straight. And they're coming off of a win against Louisiana. They've got homecoming this weekend against ODU. Perfect chance for the Monarchs to ruin the party that's going on there in James Madison. It is the Royal Rivalry. It's going to be a great contest. It will be Saturday at 3:30. And, you know, Old Dominion's decent this year. 4-2 overall. Of course, they beat Virginia Tech. They're 1-1 in the conference. They still have a lot to play for this season. But you look at what JMU's got. I mean, you really could start to believe that they could win the Sun Belt this year if they can take care of business at home against Old Dominion. And then they're going to have a tough test at Marshall a couple of weeks after that. All right, for Jeremy, for Stubb, I'm Adam Epstein. You've been listening to AWOD Radio. Dad, thanks for stopping by. I hope dinner's on you tonight because I am broke. You're listening to AWOD here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM. Grant and Danny are coming up next.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.